Come on, man. It is the Big Cast. I am Steve Mix. I'm here with the Reverend in Fuego. Glenn Cannon. You know what I think is funny is that, like, there's a little buzz about our podcast in the company for getting a crap ton of downloads and page views.
That's awesome.
But that might mean that somebody on the higher food chain of Entercom might be like, well, what is it about this podcast?
Oh, don't listen to us, guys.
That makes them so good.
You think they could get me a card to get up here?
No, you're still going to text us and pray.
I'm just thinking they're like, oh, let's check it out right now. And they're like, oh, they just make sounds. And that's their man. Yeah, we got a message from Taryn, who does not only nights here
at
the station.
This is super awesome, actually.
And I want to thank everybody who listens to the podcast for even making this happen, because we look like studs in the eyes of Entercom. She also monitors all the social media stuff behind the scenes. It's just Taryn's our guru. She knocks it out of the park all the time, and she keeps up on whatever's going on the website, all things digital, the digital assets. Sends out a message saying, hey, dude, just want to let you know that the Mixcast is the top page views for any KISW podcast in the month of March. Congrats on your hard work and all the fun you have while doing it. Cheers, and thank you for all that you do.
Wait, we're supposed to have fun doing this?
I never had fun in this room with you guys.
I can't even remember ever having laughed in this room.
No. My face never hurts when I leave this room.
No, it's very stoic.
Yes. I'm never in a happier mood after leaving this podcast.
It's the worst hour and a half of my life each week.
It's like a poetry slam at a mortuary.
Can somebody please put a review on iTunes as just that? Please, like, flood it. Just everybody do that. That would make my life.
Oh, man.
I'm writing that down. That might become the new bio of the Mixcast.
It's like a poetry slam at a mortuary.
I'm giving it snaps. I can't even snap. I used to.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to lick my fingers.
That tripped me out because I was looking at Steve and he had stopped snapping, but you were snapping into the microphone, and I thought, I need sleep immediately.
My ears are on delay.
Oh, I looked over and was like, "This, I'm going to be operating a vehicle in a couple hours.
How
and
is
maybe,
this happening?
Oh, God.
Steve's fingers a weird, like, kung fu movie all of a sudden.
The dubbing on this is terrible.
The worst.
On what? On our life.
But all seriousness, thank you, everybody who pays attention to our podcast.
Rad.
Because
that's so cool.
Typically, the morning show and the afternoon show, the Men's Room and BJ and Migs, the daily podcast, which is really just a daily show put up on, as a podcast, quote unquote, those always dominate. So,
which makes sense.
Right. So any of the original podcast material podcasts like us, the podcast, the Megacast, whatever it may be, Geek Nation, we always follow those shows. So the fact that we're at the top is pretty freaking cool.
Are you going to strut into the Megacast and be like, yo, Ted?
What's up?
Yeah, what's up? Yeah. Talking to the top dog now.
Watch, Ted gets this email every month except for this month.
Yeah, he'd be like, I didn't want to say anything, Steve, but since the moment I started my cast, I've been getting
You've
that
gotten
email.
One. Good
you
job.
Know what? That's great, but for the month of March, we are really special.
Yeah, that's the madness right there.
Even a broken clock's right twice a day.
Especially at a poetry slam at a mortuary.
Poetry slam at a mortuary.
That's right. Well, anyways, thank you guys for being a part of this podcast.
Yeah.
And it means
that's really cool.
Yeah, I had a moment of just like reflection yesterday when I got that. I was like, that's sometimes I just wonder if anyone's listening. You know what I mean?
It's a good point, yeah.
You know, we just do this, and honestly, it's a self-serving thing. I get to hang out with two of my buddies and laugh and share stories.
Well, I feel like we have a really cool show, but that it's a matter of, does anyone listen to our really cool, really fun show?
Right. And you don't know.
You guys have, you know, especially for me to read that, I was like, well, that's cool because you guys work here and have a career here.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I don't know what I am actually.
Awesome.
You know? I'm here once a week and I get to do the show with you guys. Yeah. So for me, it was a real like, oh, well, that's rad. Something I'm a part of is,
hell yeah,
is succeeding.
Yes.
You know? It made me feel really good. It was cool.
It's dude, and in such a huge part of it. So I appreciate that all of us get to do this.
See, that's another awesome. It's another accolade that we can put also as the best of Western Washington as well.
We have won that
We've
as well.
We've won that.
Yep. This time we didn't even need Red the Stripper trying to convince all of our followers to help us with that. Not that we ever would do such a thing.
Oh, no,
am I
never.
Allowed to share this accolade on social media? I wondered about that this morning.
I don't know.
I didn't. I don't think I'm going to post like a screenshot of the email, but I might say, hey, you know, but I don't. I also don't want to be like, did you guys know that the guy that doesn't work here is
promoting? No. Like, no, you should promote it. You're on it.
Well, yeah,
family.
But I don't know what the lines of, is that uncool?
I don't think it is. I think it's a moment of pride.
It's tooting your own horn.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Oh, it was more of a, I thought of it as two things. One, a way to thank everyone that listens, but two,
to try and
gain more listeners.
Yeah. People will be like, what the hell is going
on?
And then they tune in and they hear us make weird sounds.
That's right.
Oh, you know what?
Welcome.
I was just looking on the old podcast on Apple, the Apple podcast.
Yes.
And we have 73 ratings.
Okay.
And we have 5 stars.
Yes.
So, seriously, thank you everyone who is doing that.
We're spicy.
Except for that one douche who said mean things. Other than that.
And that's the thing. It's
this is like a poetry slam at a mortuary.
Yes. And that guy doesn't like those kinds.
I've had more fun at Deaf, Dumb, and Blind Bingo. No one knows who the winner was.
So, Glenn and myself, we're prepping for a big weekend away. We leave on Thursday.
Dude.
We get on the Lion Pride party bus, and we're heading on off to Vancouver, British Columbia with Bruiser Brody as we play 3 nights. 2 of them sold out. At the Commodore Ballroom with Steel Panther.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That's going to be really fun.
And I think Rouse has effectively scared our frontman, Travis, because last night he shared, hey, just be prepared. The Steel Panther guys like to F with the opening bands.
And Travis immediately was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, because Travis, look, you know, Travis can beat the piss out of people if he wants.
He used to do, like, MMA fighting.
He was an MMA fighter.
Was he really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, he has an air of that, but I wouldn't actually imagine that he was that.
You didn't. Yes, I'm so happy he's on our side.
Oh, when we were when we were cutting vocals up at Brett's, because Brett's gotten way into martial arts.
I've had lunch with Brett one time and talking about that when we were recording.
Yeah, dude, there was a night when he and I were both really drunk, and I thought it would be fun to engage him in a pseudo shoot fighting match.
Sure.
He won.
Yeah. I hope.
You know, I thought, I'll grapple with this guy. I'm on enough tequila, I could stop a freight train.
Uh-huh.
And Brett was like, I am a freight train. But anyway, those two, when Travis was up there hanging out singing, they got talking about all that stuff, and Travis was like, oh, dude, and he got dug into his phone, and he found this photo of a fight he had done where a guy just, I guess, you can see Travis's nose is on sideways. Have you seen that photo?
Yes.
And he was wigged because he was like, I'm a vocalist.
Yes.
And now my nose, my beak has been rearranged. And like, I looked at the photo, I was like, dude, he's like, right? Like, yeah, he was.
Time to start fighting.
Worried. I'm not sure if it was that show, but he told me a story once where he went and had a fight, an MMA fight, like at one of the casinos or somewhere, right?
Yeah.
As soon as he was done with the fight, had to hightail it to a club to sing, I think, with Second Coming.
I think that was the story.
Post-stardom.
I think that was
or
the story.
Era,
but yeah, he was super wigged about getting his nose set right because of his sinus passages.
Oh, dude.
But he showed me that photo. I'm like, bro. And he's like, I know. Yeah, dude. It was a real bummer. I'm like, yeah, it looks like a bummer.
It's a real bummer.
The idea of professional wrestling compared to MMA, obviously very different, but yeah. I had a scare last week. Thankfully, everything is fine.
Didn't you almost break your neck once? So?
Well, I've had that happen. I've effed up my knee. Right before came in the grass.
Right.
Remember
that's
that?
Right,
yeah, dude, if you've seen that gymnastics video, that's what happened to. There's a video out there online right now of a woman that did gymnastics just the other night, maybe yesterday, did all these crazy flips, landed, but didn't like base her knees very well.
Oh, no,
so
no,
they buckled in, both of them.
Yeah, she did what they call the ostrich walk.
That's so
bro.
Yeah.
It reminded me, granted, not nearly as bad, but what I did to mine, and then we had pain in the grass soon after that. Fortunately, it was my hi-hat knee, so I was able to play just fine. But last week, I was having a practice match with one of our newer students at our wrestling class, and we're just mixing it up, doing some stuff, and he got, we call it the happy feet, you know, basically just a little too antsy, moving around too much, as opposed to just kind of being more cognizant of where your feet are going. And as I was getting up, he just full-on ran, and like he was trying to grab me, even though he should have just waited for me to get up.
Yeah.
He ran to go grab me and just stepped on my hand, as my hand was like this.
Oh, dude.
And I felt my middle finger cave in and my wrist.
No, the first thing
I thought was, I got to play drums next week.
Yep.
Son of a bitch. The boys are going to kill me. And so I'm like pissed. And the poor guy, he's a good dude. He's looking at me like, I want to murder him because I'm seeing red. Not because
Oh, I bet.
Accidents. And like I told him.
But in the moment, you're like, I'm a drummer. You shouldn't have done this. Now I'm my hand screwed. Could be fouled up. Yeah. I could be screwed. I'm going to go play for a total of 3,000 people in the course of 3 days. You know, minor inconvenience.
No big deal. Right. But
so I tagged because it was a tag team. And of course.
It's like Yakuza style. It's like, you're going to have to cut off one of your own fingers.
It's only
fair. Steve has the wood block and the knife with him.
It's only fair.
Oh, and the little white rag the guy has to tie off right there. You know?
And the knife's a little dull, but we'll get through it. Don't worry.
It's a shank. I made a shank for Steve. It's Steve's Yakuza shank.
So that happens. Mind you, this is the last 5 minutes of class. This is the last thing that's happening. It's always the case when it's like right when you think that you're done, you do something to hurt yourself. Tag out to my partner and I'm on the corner. I'm just shaking my hand and I'm pissed. A teacher, Ethan, he comes by. He's like, let me see your hand. He's like, I think you're fine. At first, you're just panicking. And I'm like, okay, I could bend it. I could bend it. It's bruising, but I could bend it. That's all I cared about. And I'm doing this. Like, people are like, what the hell is going on over there? I'm like, I'm practicing playing the drums. I want to make sure my hand can still do it.
You want to see how bad it hurts when you're doing those motions.
Exactly. Because I'm like, I'm just going to power through it. I'm just going to have to get really drunk and play the drums, which probably is going to happen healthy or unhealthy. But luckily, I iced it up. Everything was fine the next day. But it was a scare for a second.
I bet. I'm sure, man.
Yeah, because I'm like, that's the of all the things I need next week. I need my hands, man.
So your hands.
So just to let you know, my hands are not going anywhere near a wrestling ring for the next couple of days. I'm not going to train.
I wonder if we could make
timeout time.
This is random. I'm sorry, but
go ahead.
All things with me. You guys want to see if we can make Gahans trend, like hashtag Gahans?
If we can make a trend in Seattle.
I'm just going to tweet out. I'm just going to tweet out Gahans right now.
What the
hashtag
hell is
Gahans.
This?
Yeah. And see what happens.
Yes.
Like just for S's just and giggles. Just
hashtag. The confusion factor is always like hashtag sandwiches are yummy.
Yeah. You know? Like nothing else.
Hashtag
just Gahans.
G-H-A-N-D-S. Gahans.
Gahans.
That's how you spell it. G-H-A-N-D-S, people.
Yep.
Let's make a trend.
Done. We're going to see what's going to happen here.
Sorry. World.
No.
Anyway, I'm glad your hand's okay.
My hand's
man.
Okay. I'm very pumped for this weekend. It's going to be a blast, dude. You know, I printed really a bunch time. Of stuff and I forgot to grab it.
Oh, no.
It's cool, though. He walks in with a blank piece of paper.
I know.
We call him Fresh Start Steve.
I remember one of them. Actually,
new from Summer's Eve, a Fresh Start Steve. Rinse away the sin, ladies.
Oh,
and
dear.
Start with a clean slate.
Rinse away the sin.
Ladies.
Ladies.
It's like a poetry slam at a mortuary.
At a mortuary.
Yeah,
I don't have it in front of me. I'm not running all the way back there, but one of the ones I thought was funny, somebody said they were excited for us to be playing. I think her name was Gretchen. Excited that we're doing the shows, wishes she could be there. But then, oh, man, I should grab it.
Go grab it.
All right, I'll go grab it. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
Yourselves.
I'm going to leave the show in your hands.
Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
So, Glenn, how you been doing?
I'm doing fine, Rev. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know what I did this weekend?
Dang it, what did you do this weekend?
Nothing.
Oh, was it everything you thought it would be?
It was. I sat at home and I painted a Nerf shotgun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was you like a camo thing to it? Or?
No, I went steampunk. Duh.
Okay.
And so.
So it's kind of a copper rust.
Yeah. My wife was fantastic and she went to the craft store, spent 5 hours at the craft store, and got a whole bunch of spray paint. So I spray painted it copper, did a couple of other layers on it, and it looks pretty cool, man.
That's rad.
Yeah.
Man.
I'm excellent. Really stoked about it. Oh, hi.
Hey,
oh, hello.
Steve's
hi,
back.
Steve. We're just talking about my Nerf guns.
Yeah.
Oh, getting ready for the big birthday.
Yeah.
Is it the big 4-0?
Yes. Yeah, my 40th birthday. I'm going to have a Nerf Battle Royale at my house. I went to Goodwill and I bought 8 new Nerf guns, well, new old Nerf guns, because there was just a treasure trove there. And then I went online and I bought 500 new darts, which apparently these darts are heavier than the normal darts.
So they kind of hurt?
They're going to actually hurt people. So I actually have to tell people,
wear sunglasses.
There needs to be a couple of rules. Like the kitchen is going to be off limits. And the bedroom, because the cats are in there, no shooting in there.
No shooting the cats.
Yeah, don't shoot the cats. And then also I had to realize that, like, try not to shoot at the bar area where people are, like, making drinks and stuff like that. It's going to be a train wreck, but everyone knows what they're getting into.
You need to basically put black lights in all area of your home.
Ooh.
So as those Nerf darts fly through the air, it is happening.
Dip some in laundry detergent.
Oh,
that way they even get they
except
glow.
For when you shoot someone in the eye.
Oh, I thought you meant for like a chemical weapon. I was like, Jesus,
yeah, like, that's like shooting people in the eye, dude.
I mean, that's fun when there's children around, but with adults, who needs that kind of activity?
Open your mouth and swallow this, bitch.
I filled this squirt gun's filled with bleach. Steve, bring your kid over here.
Maybe disinviting Steve for the birthday party. Sounds like it's going to get Lord of the Flies in here.
Son of a.
Steve had little needles embedded in all of his Nerf darts. You'll see me with like three just stuck in my face as I weep and sip my drink.
And this I'm winning.
No, now we got to make targets and stuff now for the backyard as well. So we have something constructive for people to shoot. I'm thinking about doing like a game. No, not the neighbors.
Children. Can someone bring a child?
There will be children. So I'm just like saying if they're under five feet,
learn
like,
from this.
Yes. Try not to shoot the ones under 5 feet.
Pain is only weakness leaving your body, kid. Yes. Now open up your mouth and take this.
Wait, that didn't sound right.
Nerf guns.
This is Sparta. It's a bunch of naked, crying children in the street in front of Rev's house.
What's going on? There's a Nerf battle.
Any of them that come back can eat. You know?
Rev's got like red paint on his face, like it looked like it's blood. And he's just like, freedom.
The last time I did this, I like my best friend walked through the door, was like, happy birthday, and I shot him right in the eye.
Nice.
Like, so I mean, this is what to expect.
Excellent.
I'm excited.
Before we started the podcast, Glenn, you had another run-in with parking police.
Oh, man. Was that a swear in there?
No. Okay. I am really tired, but I try and park on the street because it's just cheaper. It's about $23 for me to park in the building. It's about $8 to park on the street. So it's worth it.
It's huge.
So I get into the area. I think it was like 9:52, and I'm like, perfect, because there'll be some vehicles there, but not many, and I'll find a spot. Because, man, if you get there at 10:08,
it's already taken.
Spots are gone.
Yeah.
So
these are spots that don't start until 10 o'clock.
That's what I learned the day that he bawled me out.
Yes.
He said, stay there and see what happens. So I'm like, what is this? What am I, a freshman in high school
again? Welcome to Sparta.
You're going to pull on my underwear next? What are you doing? This is Sparta. Jesus.
That's when you shoot him with a Nerf gun that was dipped in detergent.
Come back with your ticket book or on it, Spartan. You know, like, what? So I pull in and our buddy Neil, our photographer, Neil Limsang, calls me. He's going to be coming up to Vancouver. So,
what?
Yeah.
Is he shooting Bruce Brody?
He's coming up, man. He's coming up. He's going to be there Thursday night, maybe Friday, but probably just a Thursday.
Nice.
So Neil and I pulled in, awesome. And he's like, dude, are you busy? I'm like, no, man, I actually just pulled in. I'm going to hang with my car for the next 7 minutes.
Right.
So that I can go pay for legal parking.
Right, because if someone tells you to move it, you can move it if you need to.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm in the car. Sure enough, same guy. Here he comes around the corner in his little Cushman cart. He sees me. I see him.
Oh, boy. You luck eyes.
Dun, dun, he stops. Dun. He backs in right next to me. That little sliding door opens. He gets out. He's got his little tablet. And he's giving me that look, that mean mug look.
Yeah.
Just the look where the lips are slightly pursed and the eyes look like the sun might be in them, even though there's no sun.
Mm-hmm.
That face.
He's looking at you like Newman looked at Seinfeld.
Yeah.
And so right away, man, I just looked at him. I looked at him like, really?
Here we go again.
And I started my car, and I put it in drive, and then he did this thing where he had the ticket book in his hand, but he did like the defiance point, where he points, like, yeah, you get out of here.
Right.
You get out of here,
buddy. And you're like, oh, hell nah?
Yeah. Oh, no. I just kind of looked at him, and all I'm thinking is like, you know, because you want to try and give people the benefit of the doubt. It's like, dude, did this guy come home and find like every pool man in King County running a train on his wife while his daughter was videoing it? I mean, why is this guy so filled with hate? And I wanted to roll down the window and be like, bro, my tax dollars pay your salary, and I'm trying to figure out.
I don't think that would go.
Why you're so? But legally, I have the right to chat with him.
No, I agree, but I don't know if that's.
Why are you so mad?
Yeah.
Why are you so angry? Is it that you hate this job? You know, quit.
Oh, he definitely does.
Start another job then.
Imagine having that job that everybody hates.
Seattle,
he hates the breakdown of society with parking.
There's so much opportunity. There's so much. It's not like you're living in Flint.
He's the Judge Dredd of parking.
I'm telling you.
Judge Judy and executioner.
I am the law. You effing around no more. Because I cite the rich. I cite the poor.
Because in the Emerald City, I am the law.
Yeah. Just put the sticker on your door. Ding, 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 dant, dant, dant. And, you know, guy drives a
only
golf cart.
Only Anthrax fans finds this last segment awesome.
Yeah, I'm sorry that my poor mother. Have I told you guys that story? You know, I suffer from insomnia.
Uh-huh.
This goes back my whole life.
Should we come back to that after we finish this story?
That's basically the story.
Here's the tangent. Okay.
That was it. I mean, I wanted to roll down the window and engage, but last time I engaged that guy,
it didn't go.
Yeah, he
great.
Was yelling at me, and I was like, "Hey, man, I think you're misunderstanding. I'm asking you a legitimate. Go ahead and park. See what happens."
Yeah.
You know, you called down the thunder. Well, now you got it. And I'm like,
"Goddamn, Boss Hog!"
I'm like,
over
"Mr.
There.
Earp, I'm just trying to get directions to the OK Corral."
So
you know,
you pulled off.
I just drove away, and I went around the corner.
And came back.
I went around the corner. I watched my clock. Talked to Neil for a few. It was a great conversation. And then at 9:59, I came back on the corner and parked my car.
Was he there?
No, but it would have been rad if he was.
It would have been.
Slow rolling.
You know, I would have like tapped my wrist and given him the knowing nod. Like, yeah, man.
Gosh, I would have tapped my wrist and maybe my finger would have been middle as it was doing the tapping right
Guess
there.
Guess what, bro? Your parking spot just came of age and I'm legally all up in.
That's right. I'm going to kip winger that bitch.
How do you feel now? How do you feel now? I'll see you at Christmas, Pop. That guy is so just like,
Now you had two incidents with him. Now he's just a douchebag.
When it was over the top, I'm telling you, like, he pointed like the, head for the hills. Son,
right,
with that look on his face,
kinda like I told you,
it's like I own you. I'm like, yeah, for the next 6 minutes, man, and I'm gonna circle the block and park, and then you know,
you should have, as you were driving off, you said, "You may have won the battle, but I'm gonna win the war." And then you pull back in, you're like, "I just won the war."
Got your wife on speed dial, bro.
Yeah, she's good. You might not want to ever swim in a pool again after you see what's getting done to her.
So yeah, that's the second run-in now I've had with this guy.
Gosh.
You know?
Third time's a charm. After that, you got to go on a date.
Well, now I just want to, it's one of those things where I'm tempted to roll down my car and say, well, as you can see, I'm not parked. I've pulled over to safely make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
So within the letter of the law, am I doing anything illegal right now?
I'm
in the vehicle and it's running and I'm on the phone.
I just
sir.
Want you to like in that parking spot, slowly go forward, slowly go backwards. I'm not parked. I'm moving.
I'm moving.
I got thrown.
I'm now in neutral.
Not
bitch.
Moving.
As a teen in the country club mall, I remember standing with a circle of friends because before you had driver's licenses, what everyone would do is they would go to the mall and you would just walk around the mall and meet other kids and what's going on tonight. And then usually that would migrate to a party somewhere. And that was the preteen thing to do in Cumberland, Maryland. You went to the country club mall.
This is what people did before social media. This is how you were able to interact socially. You went in public and talked to people.
We were stone's throw away from lighting a fire and then covering it and uncovering it with a dampened blanket, okay? That's kind of how we communicated was we got to the mall to figure out what was happening.
Right.
Does anyone out there even get the smoke signal reference
made? No.
I love it.
Read a book. Okay, so, the whole moving thing. This guy walked up and I was just standing there having a conversation. He's like, "Hey," and I guess I have a problem with authority. I don't have a problem with authority. I don't have a problem with authority. I have a problem with stupidity.
You have stupidity with authority.
And power hungry authoritarian.
Yeah, man. I'm sorry you ended up here, man.
You
could have been a surgeon, but instead you're here. And so the guy walks up.
Your answer to everything. No matter what.
If you see a stranger crying, ask them if it's because of their haircut.
That's funny. Are you so sad because of your haircut?
Oh, my God.
So brutal. That is like so brutal.
All right, I'm sorry.
That's like
I'm
teen
tired
girl
today.
Brutal.
I'm tired.
Bro, that was like my whole thing was like, you know how people are always like, please on April Fool's Day, don't do the pregnancy fake April Fool's prank because, you know, there are people who, and I get it. I mean, I speak from experience. There are people that are battling, trying to get pregnant, and it just sucks for someone
tacky.
To see that.
Is that a thing?
People love to do that. Look, I'm pregnant with a fake pregnancy test thing. So I said, if somebody does that, that gives you every right to say, "No way, I knew it. It looked like you've been getting bigger."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like,
you look pregnant.
Right.
How far along are you?
What are you, about nine months now?
Like, you must be 11 months along.
I told my friends that you were getting fatter, and now it makes sense. You're pregnant. Like, you have every right to do that. They want to play the silly joke of I'm pregnant, then just hit them where it hurts.
Fat jokes.
Their waistline. Right.
I'm with that.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. I'm wrong.
I don't have the balls to do it, but I wish I could.
Oh, God, yeah, right.
I never want to piss off a woman by making fun of their weight.
No.
Standing at the mall, security guard walks up and says, "You got to keep moving." All right, man. So we walk. We start walking again, and then I run into someone else, and I'm standing there just having a conversation. "Hey, man, you know." And the guy finds me again. He's like, "Hey, I already told you before to keep moving." So I looked him dead in the eye and just started wiggling. Okay? You know? Like I had a live carp in my shorts. And I maintained eye contact. You know?
One of them is now, like, I'm just picturing young Glenn Cannon doing the wiggle.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
This is freaking awesome.
Everyone around
just
me was like,
maintaining that eye contact.
Oh, yeah. Everyone around me was like, this is why I'm friends with this guy. And it was great. I'm thinking, you know, to the letter of the law and to the letter of your instructions, I am obeying, man.
Why does he need you to keep moving anyway?
Homeboy grabbed me by the collar and took me into this office.
Oh, no.
And they took a Polaroid of me and they pinned it up on the wall with all these other Polaroids.
Shame.
And I looked at the wall of Polaroids.
Shame.
And everyone looked just as bummed as I was.
Shame.
Look at this photograph.
And I got thrown out of the mall. I wasn't allowed in the mall.
Because you were cruising on your feet.
So, you know, then that's a problem, because where do you go? In Western Maryland, there's only two things you can do, right? You can...
Now you're done.
Go to the mall or cook meth. That was before meth. Hmm. But so yeah, then I'd have to go up to the mall, but I'd have like a hoodie on, like a ball hat. I was like incognito mosquito, man.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I got thrown out of the mall. I got banned from the mall.
I would love
for that.
I wish that if they still had that wall of pictures, if someone could get a picture of just the wall of
everyone
pictures.
Everyone looked, and I looked at my picture.
Yeah, wouldn't you be miserable?
And I looked bummed.
Oh, you were, yeah.
But everyone around me was bummed. It was like a wall of the bummed.
This is the face you make, man, when you deal with that guy.
See, yeah, I've never been banned from a place. Steve, have you ever been banned from a place?
I don't think so.
Like,
no.
I've never actually physically been told you cannot return to this place.
I was thrown out of the mall.
I don't have
the mall.
Like,
Tiffany was in there singing. Think we're alone now. I'm outside. You got a cigarette, man?
I'd like to go in there and be alone now, but I can't. Yeah, no, I've never been banned from anywhere.
Wow.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
I don't think, other than the Country Club Mall incident, I don't think I've been. No.
Damn. Hey, text in 253-271-4787 if you've ever been banned or kicked out of somewhere.
I would love
we'll
to
talk
hear those
about
stories.
It next week. Yeah.
I've been asked to leave a few places.
Yeah, I've been doing, I've had that happen, but it's never been to the point where, yeah, they shove you in a room, take a picture of you, and like, you're never allowed back here.
I've even willingly left places that I knew I deserved to be. I was being kicked out at the one place in Tacoma for Levi's Christmas party. He picked me up in his party bus, so I just went balls out. My buddy J-Mac and I from the Donkeys. And we're just crushing alcohol, just boom, 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 just getting effed up, more effed up. I'm hosting this party. I jump up on stage because I'm trying to have a conversation with the drummer while he's playing. Well, he thought it was hilarious and decided, you know what, how about you finish, because he knew I played drums. So then I finished playing the drums, and that like kicked in my drunkenness even further. So then I go to the bathroom, and I'm hurling. I'm like violently hurling, and I ripped out the handicap bars in the bathroom.
Oh, no.
I come out holding them.
Oh, dude.
Two-fisting handicap bars?
Yes.
Yeah, normally when you break stuff, they don't dig that.
The security guys, sir, you're gonna have to leave. And then everybody comes, no, he's hosting tonight's party. He can't be kicked out.
We need you to leave the bar. I've got the bars in my hands.
I didn't realize this was in Tacoma, but that's about the most Tacoma thing
it's
you could
so
have done.
Tacoma.
It really is.
And I remember Levi got involved. Everyone's like, no. And they were convincing the security guy to let me stay in as long as I don't drink anymore so I can continue to host it. And I looked at all of them. I go, no. He's right. I should not be.
You gotta get me out of here.
Right. And the security guy starts laughing because he's like, what the hell? This is the most polite idiot that just ripped poles out of our wall.
That's the thing. It's like, he's like, I'm really happy he's polite because he just ripped poles off of a wall. I don't know what kind of strength he has.
I've got drunk mutant strength, or they were just very poorly attached to the walls.
Probably.
I'm going to pretend that they were.
I'm going to assume they were bolted on.
That's what I'm going to assume too.
Yeah, that's how the story should go.
So I just left, went in the party bus, and just passed out for like an hour and woke up and started drinking again.
Did you get to keep the handrails?
No, unfortunately.
Oh, sort of a bummer.
I don't think Sid would
really.
I don't think Sid would have been okay.
Them. How was like, look what I got. I'm putting these by our toilet.
So, yeah, suddenly Steve's downstairs toilet, which is his and his alone, has handicap bars.
Yeah,
and like, it's like, why?
That's the constipation rail, you know? When you're in panic mode, you got to grab
a
hold of something.
I had to this
morning.
Well,
then clearly I was very constipated.
Ripping
right off.
I wish there was a picture of me just holding these poles.
I'm just imagining it, and that's all I need right now in my life. It's just the visual, like just like in my brain, that visual.
Like, just,
oh, and then J-Mac almost got into a fight because while I'm hurling, some guy, I guess, was like, oh, look at this amateur puking in the bathroom. And Jay's just like,
that's a Tacoma response,
like,
too.
And Jay's like, F you. What, you never got drunk where you needed to puke? And he's like trying to fight the guy because that's just what we do.
Yeah. That's another Tacoma thing.
No, I guess I'm a bad friend, I guess, could be like, yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. That's really pretty sad.
Right? I know. I would kind of go along with
it. Yeah, it's one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good guy, Jay, but yeah.
Jay wants to kill him.
You
want to
split the money that's in his wallet or what?
If only the guy stayed in the bathroom that whole time, and then I, after I finished hurling, I just turn around and look at him like, you got a problem, and I'm holding
these Let's go! Just go Chuck Norris on him and beat him half to death.
This is the retelling of the Steve Miggs story, like for Netflix.
Yeah, right, exactly. Unsolved mysteries. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, man, I don't know how to. I do want to give a moment. It's a bummer story. I definitely want Glenn to share more than anyone. I know it's not like a happy thing, but it's something that I think is important to talk about because an icon of the music scene sadly left us. Yeah. On the same day news came out of the day of Kurt's passing and Lane's passing, I got a text from Glenn. And I mean, I have my story that I'd love to share about Sean, but mine's more of a fan perspective. And I know you were friends with him, so I would love to give you the floor to show some love for Sean Smith, former frontman of Pigeonhead, Brad Satchel, and just an all-around incredible musician.
Really, really remarkably talented guy and a really, really sweet. Anyone that's met him will tell you the same thing, like the sweetest, kindest, gentlest soul and just so remarkably talented. And yeah, I met him back in the late 90s, man. You know, I was working at Guitar Center and popped in. And a guy I worked with named Christian Ayton was a huge fan of everything Sean had done. I was like, dude, do you know who that is? That's Sean Smith. And that was the beginning of our friendship. And then not long after that, actually, I ended up guitar teching at one show for Brad.
Oh, no way.
Which was the project he did with Stone and Thad. And
yeah, like that. They came out, what, like 2 years after 10?
Yeah.
I think their debut record. So it was Stone, like they're still riding the high of Pearl Jam's 10. And I remember being in college getting that record.
That's an incredibly good record, man. Well, everything Front Sean's ever done is great. But, you know, so it was just one of those things where, you know, how it is playing music in Seattle, you intersect and intersect and intersect. And he was always just really, I would say he was a distant friend, but a distant friend over the course of 20 years where we'd bump into each other and have a long, heartfelt, very cool conversation. And I've gotten him to see him perform a bunch of times over the years and just really remarkably talented guy. And it's very, very sad. You know, it's one of those things where Tawny and I were just hanging out and she tends to, like, we'll be watching TV or whatever, and she tends to be on her phone a lot, kind of watching TV and then phone in the right hand sort of thing. And she's like, oh my God, Sean Smith passed away. And I'm like, what? And there wasn't much out there, but like 7 or 8 people had posted on his page directly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, you know, it's one of those, is this real? Is this real? And then, you know, I kind of got in there and dug a bit, and these are people I would assume that would know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I just immediately called Brett, because Brett had he had toured with him as well, goes way back. And so I called Brett, was like, dude, I just heard this. And, of course, no idea what had happened.
Right.
It turns out, as I understand it, was complications pertaining to diabetes.
And then I just heard through, I think, Reagan Hagar, the drummer of Brad, I think, put out a statement saying it's not from diabetes. He did have diabetes, but I guess some people got the stories mixed. And apparently he also was battling a heart condition.
I didn't know that.
And I didn't know that either. But apparently he wanted to clear the air. So I'm glad you brought that up, because apparently it had nothing to do with complications from diabetes. And it had something to do with him having a bad heart.
I've kind of.
Which is really unfortunate.
Like the night it happened, I just, you know, it's one of those, what do you do? What do you say? And I'm not the type generally to, especially with stuff like that. And it just seems like stuff like that happens to me all the damn time these past 5, 6 years.
Yeah.
I don't do or say much. And finally I was like, you know, I'll just go to his page and find a picture that I like and I'll post that. And there's nothing. There's no text. There's no nothing. It's just, here's a photo of Sean.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I didn't say anything because what the hell am I going to say? You know, then it was kind of cool. Now this is way back. I think it was 2010 or 11. I had played at this house party. And Sean had played, and Linda Kemper, or Linda Phillips now, JT Phillips' wife, she hit me up. She's like, oh my God, do you know about this? And she's like, I have this video of you, Andrew, Bob Mesa, and Sean all jamming, freeform jamming at that party. And I went, oh my God, would you send that to me?
Yeah.
So she sent me that, and I did post that. And I just said, you know, this was That's pretty cool. Pretty neat thing from a lifetime ago. And then the story that I shared, because she sent me this, is, no, I think I found it. I can't remember. I was kind of, I was a little out of my head, I guess, in a weird way. But the way back, 2000-ish, 99, 2000-ish, Sean and I were getting to be friends. He's like, well, dude, I'm doing this Unplugged show at the Tractor. Come check it out. So I went and saw Sean at the Tractor, and Sean did Purple Rain on an acoustic guitar. He wasn't playing piano. He was playing guitar. And the way he did it on acoustic, I was like, dude, that is sick. Like, I'd always been a fan of the song, but whoa. Mm-hmm. So I went and learned it. And the reason I started playing Purple Rain and the reason I started covering it was because of Sean.
That's cool.
And someone at that same house party, Sean was there. So I'm like, hey, I'd like to play a song I didn't write. And Sean's in the kitchen. Like, if the camera pans, I don't even think you can see him back there, but he's in the kitchen watching me play. And I told the whole story. Like, I saw Sean do this at the Tractor. It's not Prince. Sean's the reason I learned this song. Sean's the reason I play this song the way I do. Huh. And now that he's here, you know, 20 feet away from me, I'd like to play this song. And I did that. Wow. I played Purple Rain. Wow. And it's cool. It's a house party. Everyone's singing along at the choruses. Yeah. So I shared that video as well. And that was just a way of remembering my friend. That's all. I don't even know how to. So there's, you know, just kind of that pertains to stuff that you can go find on social media. But it's, you know, just me remembering my friend. And he was a really, really sweet, cool guy. And it's, to me, kind of tragic. You think about all the talent, and I mean serious talent in the world, that never really gets a fair shot and never gets a shake. Like, here's a guy that should have been in a better place than he was.
Agreed.
And I'm not trying to make art and creativity about money. I'm not trying to say that. But
he shouldn't have to worry about bills.
Here's a guy that struggled, that was remarkably talented, that his music had been on major soundtracks and had reached the world on a probably a global level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Pigeonhead track,
which
was like an electronic-based group, but that was a huge, that I say hallelujah.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of the song, but I mean, that was a monster hit at the end at one point.
Yeah, I remember it.
I mean, yeah.
But it goes to show. And I mean, Sean and I more than once had sat and talked about the ins and outs of the music business and social media and just trying to get to a place where you can self-sustain. And we had had those conversations, which to me was always weird because I always saw him, and of course, always will see him as being, you know, towers
upper echelon
above where I'm at or maybe will ever be as a musician. I saw him as, you know, the stratosphere, and I'm in a ditch, and he's talking to me about, man, what do you think about trying to, and I remember, and that was over a decade ago, having those conversations, and I'm thinking, damn, dude, like, times are tough because this guy's like a superhero.
Right. This guy should be able to pay his bills with his voice.
Yeah.
And so, his piano playing. I mean, his piano playing.
Oh, God. His songwriting.
Yeah.
So, remarkably talented guy, and if you know, it's a tragedy that we've lost him. And I also think it's a bit of a crime. Just, it is the music business, and emphasize the word business, and that's just the way it is. But it's a crime that more people didn't know who he was.
It always made me like,
even with all this, people have been like, I had no idea who this guy was until I saw your post. And I'm like, well,
take some time and get to know him.
Yeah, I got several private messages. Like, I had never even heard of this guy. And I'm like, you need to take a minute because you're about to get your mind blown by this artist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I highly recommend Shame, which is the debut record from Brandon. It makes you think about just the what an awesome dude Stone Gossard is. At the time of the height of Pearl Jam, he wanted to probably help his friend's voice get out there and use the success of being in Pearl Jam to kind of, you know what I mean, like get attention on this, a group of musicians, not just him, but like, you know, I would imagine his head's like, this guy is just way too talented not to have the world hear what he's about.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, that album, Interiors, the story I have is just, well, first of all, he's one of the few people I legit fanboyed on, and it wasn't very long ago. Like, this happened.
Oh, really?
This happened at the Bruiser Brody show at Highway 99 Blues Club.
Yeah?
That's the only time I ever met Sean Smith. I
mean, oh, really?
I've seen him countless times. I've always wanted to. We've talked about it before. I've wanted to have him on the Migscast.
Oh, man, he would have come up in a heartbeat, man, you know?
I didn't have the courage.
Steve. If he was here to hear you say that, he'd be the first person to laugh.
Yeah, dude. So my story. Yeah. So here, to paint a picture, obviously I fell in love with Brad when, as a Pearl Jam geek, when that record first came out. I still contend it's right up there as I love that album just as much as 10. Like, I just love that record. It's such a, especially because you get it and you expect it to be Pearl Jammy because you know that the guy in Pearl Jam's in it. And then the first song is Buttercup.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is not Pearl Jam. This is nowhere near Pearl Jam.
Something
this
else.
Is, this is beautiful and funky and cool. And I fell in love with them from there. But our wedding, my wedding with Sid, I don't have any other weddings. So I don't know why I needed
that one critical wedding.
Yeah, right. My first wedding that lasted 42 hours.
The one that's still going on. TBA. No, I'm kidding. Or TBD.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, so our wedding, the music of Brad is like a ridiculous amount of use. We use it so much in our wedding, like to the point where our bridal parties come down to the Day Brings. Because in my opinion, that there aren't many better songs ever written than that song. It's, and it fit perfectly. Sid and I loved it. We used Buttercup, a couple other songs off of the first record, just playing in the background while the ceremony was going on. So the music of Brad, especially, and then Mother Love Bone a little bit too, but the music of Brad is basically the soundtrack of our wedding.
Oh, wow, man.
So that's how much we, both my wife and I love them. I mean, right before we got married, we went and saw Brad at the Showbox, which turned into an impromptu Mother Love Bone reunion at 1 a.m. Every member that's alive jumped on stage with Sean Smith, and they did 4 Mother Love Bone songs, including the song that we danced at our wedding to, Gentle Groove, which was kind of like a cool,
I bet,
like almost like a weird sign, like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we're looking at each other. I mean, I got goosebumps just talking about it. Like, that's how important his voice and his music and his songwriting has been to just our romantic endeavors. I don't know how else to say it.
No, I get it, man. Yeah.
So now fast forward to the show at Highway 99 Blues Club, where we played with Ben Smith, right?
Yeah.
And Ben has, he's an incredible drummer, and he just has a rotating door of artists that jump up on stage with him.
The And Friends.
Yes.
I always make that joke. Because people are like, dude, are you jamming? I'm like, I don't think I'm an And Friend.
Not just, not tonight.
And it's not meant as anything more than just a joke. I think it's fun to say, you know. But yeah, he gets these remarkably talented guys to join.
Yeah.
Him, and yeah.
And so we had Sean there. So I can't remember where it was in the night. But I mean, I was already gone. Like, you know, it's one of those nights back in the Tavis driving me to and from our shows. So I
part.
Yeah. So now I'm in the backstage and it's me at the moment. I think it was just me and Sean Smith. And then at some point Tavis came in and some other people. But at one point it was just me and Sean Smith.
You didn't talk to him?
No, I did.
Oh, there you go. What, did it go badly?
I licked his face. No, I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm kidding.
Escalated.
So now I'm like, now I got liquid courage. I'm like, screw it. So I'm like, Sean, my name's Steve. Nice to meet you. He's like, hey, man, nice to meet you. Super nice.
Yeah.
At no point did he give off an attitude of, no. I don't want to.
He's like the nicest, most grounded person, dude. Yeah.
Which may have been, maybe was not good for him because then it just made me feel more welcome to share how I felt about him.
Oh,
so now
here it comes.
I go, hey, man, I'm just going to put on my fanboy hat for a second.
Hey, you warned him.
And I was like, I just told him everything I just said right now, basically.
But see, that's really cool.
And I said, your music legitimately is the soundtrack to my wedding. Like, if my wife was here, she'd probably be just as excited to, like.
And what was his response to that?
He thanked me and then said, should I give you my address to send you, so you could send me some royalty checks for using the. And I like looked at him like, and he just starts laughing. He goes, no, man, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I'm taking off my fanboy hat. And now we could be cool.
Right.
And he just laughed about that. Eventually I left. So like I shared the story on a blog at castw.com. But like in the back of my head, I'm like, God, I just came off like a total dweeb.
I doubt it.
But that's how I felt. I get a message from Tavis, because obviously he knew him as well as a buddy with him. And I didn't even like, he must have read my blog or read my post on Facebook, because out of the blue, at the moment when I got this text, I was thinking about it. It was just really like,
oh, wow.
I was listening to a lot of Sean Smith, doing some chores around Sunday at 12:38. So I was vacuuming, listening to Sean Smith solo stuff, and I was crying. And I opened up the message and it just said, hey, Sean and I talked about you that night. And I was like, oh, great. What is this? And I wrote, hopefully good things. And he goes, I looked at him after you talked to him when you left the room. And I said, in reference to you, I said, he's truly a good soul. And Sean looked at me and said, I could tell.
Cool.
I was like, that's freaking cool. Even if you're lying to me, I appreciate that.
I doubt it.
That's my only.
He sounds like an amazing guy.
Yeah,
like,
man.
He really does.
And I did want to play a little bit of, this is a record I found on Bandcamp. And you can find it as well. It's just called the Bristol Folk House. He went to a place in overseas in England, I believe, in the UK, back in 2015, and just did like this small, intimate performance that they recorded. And what I love about this performance is they just mic'd it where you hear the bench creaking as he's moving.
Yeah, it's a room. Yeah,
it's very raw. And you know, I'll play a little bit of the song that I geeked out over, which is "The Day Brings," and it was the final song he played that night, just to give you a little bit of a taste of. First show of the tour and the only one with a grand piano. I hadn't been asleep since I flew out from Seattle. I was a bit concerned about being recorded, but my fears were for naught. Turned out great, and the crowd felt like family.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That is so haunting, but it's so beautiful, too. And it's like an uplifting song.
It's
a, like
yeah.
listening to the lyrics, mm-hmm. but it's just like, wow.
Have you ever heard the recorded version?
No.
Oh, just to give you a taste of
this. That's really cool.
The recorded version.
It was all over the radio.
It was.
It sounds
early to mid 90s.
It sounds really, really familiar.
I bet when you might remember it, because it was on the end quite a bit back in those times.
I was still on the East Coast when that broke, and it was all over the radio on the East Coast, too.
And that one's off of their second record, Interiors.
Wow.
Let's see if I think I got it right here. Yep.
Because I got here in 97.
Yeah.
So this was pre, I might even still be in Maryland.
Really?
It had to be, 90, it was 90, probably like 95, maybe 96.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has that cool, like, there's just a little bit of a funk to it.
Yeah, our boy Brett, I think he TM'd them on this. Actually, even the one I teched that one show on to substitute for George, Brett was tour managing them.
Oh, no way.
Mixing them, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He did that for Screaming Trees for a while as well. Brett's really been around.
We got to get Brett in here one day.
I bet he'd do it.
Yeah, just hear his stories.
Story time with Brett.
Yeah.
A talented guy.
It made me sound like a good drummer.
Yeah, I remember this song.
Yep.
Yeah, right here, yeah. See what the day brings. Like, this is a little more uplifting than the other one. But the other one, like I just like I said, it's like so haunting. And it's just like when he's just there with the piano.
This on Buttercup.
I got goosebumps, man.
This is the one where you can really hear the chair. Like, because it's such a... You hear, like, each time he, like, hits something like this. I don't know why, I just like how raw that is.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
We both try to cover it up with a sign. Yes, you may. I know that ain't a part of the deal. We're through. So let me tell you, it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
Squeaky that was chair. Probably a snafu, and he looked up at the crowd and acknowledged it.
And it's just
yeah. There's a part. I should fast forward. Time. There's a part in this song where he forgets the words, and he just kind of like, kind of just goes improv on it. It's pretty awesome.
We ain't no regional water. No matter how much I know a song, sometimes I just forget and gotta change it up. What are you gonna do? It's right here in the moment. And everybody sing with me. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Again.
It feels like you're in the room with them with this recording.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really cool.
It's just a matter of time before we get back in the wheel.
So yeah.
Before we get back in the
wheel. I know it's kind of like a little bit of a bummer thing, but I just felt like it needed to come up.
No, it's not a bummer, man. It's worth talking about.
Celebrate the man's life. And he even posted something that a lot of people are sharing, and he said, I just like rest in peace. I don't want to rest in peace. I want to soar like an eagle and have a glorious time. So soar like an eagle, Sean. It's a definite severe loss for the Seattle music scene. And I know that they were recording a new Brad record.
I didn't know that.
Apparently that's they were a couple days in on the recordings.
Oh god.
So I don't know if anything was recorded, and if so, that would be a pretty incredible thing to hear.
Yeah, I'm sure that if there's anything that they captured, I'm sure they'll push to get it out there for people to enjoy.
Yeah, maybe some scratch vocals, even if his scratch vocals will still be like...
Yeah, his scratch vocals are like keepers.
Right, like that.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean, it's just the guy's got the pipes of an amazing individual. Mm-hmm. Why don't we do some voicemails, some emails, and some text messages. Messages.
Messages!
What'd you forget?
Another part of the story.
But we get to the after the song.
Okay.
I was just thinking, like, what a severe 180 this is from what we were just listening to.
It is. I do have like a funny little part of that night when I ended up being back in that back room and fanboyed with Sean Smith. At some point, our friend Intisar, she was back there, and because she was also, I think, one of the end friends. That night. Or was she doing a solo acoustic?
She did a solo acoustic opening set with John, I thought.
Oh, fun.
You might be right. Yes.
And then we played, and then Ben closed the night. I think it's how that went.
Well, at some point, in the back of the old Highway 99 Blues Club, there used to be a piano. So Sean was just jamming on the piano, warming up. And Tess decided just to start, like, freestyle singing. And so I grabbed some of the audio.
Oh, really?
Because it just shows just the most... how random this night was. Because, again, I'm a fanboy of Sean Smith. I'm now in the back, sitting no further than you guys are to me, watching him play the piano.
That's cool.
As our friend Tess is singing a song that is really not a... It's just about getting the F up. Like, so here, just, I bleeped it so review and job will be a little bit easier.
Thank you so much.
This is basically what was
Steve
going on.
Steve does more on his phone than I do in my waking life.
Yeah. Dude, I do
How
so much
do
on
all this?
Phone. If without this phone, I'm nothing.
So I just want to hire Steve's phone to help with my career.
Hey, Steve's phone. Can you do this for me?
Steve's phone, man. Listen, here's what I need.
So here we go.
That
got way too gangster. Yeah. At some point, I'm going to pop you off.
It's one of those things, though.
Excuse me?
People are always like, dude, can I get backstage? And I'm always like, it's not like you think it is.
And then,
man, is there a way I got, can I get a backstage pass? Right. Dude, it's not like you think
it's
it
is. It's not a weird, insane it's, party.
So here's what's really going on. You know, like,
people just big, make it at the end of stuff.
You can have just as much fun right there at the bar. There's nothing going on backstage. It's not that cool.
We're just killing brain cells. There's no blow.
You've seen too many movies. You know, half the time it's a bunch of people just trying to sleep or maybe eat a meal in peace.
Yes.
You know, could I get backstage? There is nothing back there.
There's just one person banging on the piano.
Yeah, we got
another person freestyling.
Sean and Tess jamming and someone's probably having dinner. You know, that's what's up, bro.
I was eating and I'm like, I'll film this. This is kind of cool. That's like the first time I ever brought my wife back. I think it might have been for an Alice in Chains stage announcement. And we get back there and she's like, so this is what backstage is all about? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, wow.
People are excited to have a couch to sit on. They're having quiet conversations.
So boring.
Yeah.
You're standing in the dark on the side where the sound is terrible, and then you get to go out there and say hi, everybody, and then walk away.
Yeah. There's cold beverages. There's warm food, and there's like comfortable seating.
Yeah.
Clean restrooms. You know?
Maybe some meal service in the building. You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Apparently, at the Commodore, I was talking to my buddy Tony Brony, who's a wrestler, and they use the Commodore for like their big ECCW shows, ballroom brawls.
He's like, nice bathrooms.
He goes, they got showers in the back and bathrooms.
Oh, there you go.
Which is a huge plus for wrestlers, because sometimes wrestlers, you're like at Evolve Fitness, there's no bathroom in the back in the dressing room. Oh. So if you got to go pee, either you're peeing in a Gatorade bottle or you're hoping there's not a line.
Oh, dude.
Like last week I wrestled on Friday night and I'm ready and my nerves kicked in. I'm like, I got to poop. And so I'm like, luckily it was before doors were fully open. So I run to the bathroom and one of the guys, Herman Nerdstrom's like, he has his clippers in his hand. I'm like, he's like, do you need to use the bathroom? I was like, I'm going to poop my pants. I got to poop. He goes, well, I need to trim my hair. I'm like,
trim, I got to go.
I was like, bro, trim your hair somewhere else, man, because I got to poop.
Yeah.
And he's like, fine, that's fine. And then out comes one of the guys, one of the wrestlers, and he just looks at me and goes, sorry. And I was like, what? He goes, I just pooped in there. I'm like,
well, you're about to add.
I was like, all right. So I go in there, and it's bad as it is, and I made it worse. And I get out, and there's another wrestler, this guy, Eddie Pearl, who's from Portland.
I got to get in there and brush my teeth. Sorry, like, dude, don't go.
And dude, I look at him, he looks at me, I go, sorry, Eddie, it's two of us have destroyed this bathroom before you even walked in.
I like how you do preface it by saying, it wasn't just me,
It wasn't just me.
Oh, no, I wasn't. If I was capable of that, I deserve a medal. And so then he's just like,
chemical warfare.
And all I could hear is as he's walking, he goes, son of a bitch.
That makes me think of that Jazz Bones show when Tavis was like running around upstairs like, Steve violated the ozone layer.
I did.
But Tavis was out of his mind and losing his mind.
Oh,
and honestly,
man.
From the steps, it was kind of like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, Steve's trying to just quietly be a gentleman and leave the area.
And not deal with it.
Tavis is running around in circles, flailing his arms. Yeah. Did you smell what Steve had done?
I mean, all around, that was an interesting show.
Yeah, that was a great show.
It was an amazing show.
You sat next to a guy with a bedazzled jacket.
I did, and I was, well, we went to Mary Mart beforehand, so I was basically stuck to the wall because I had three candies, and Billy looked at me, Billy over at Mary Mart, and he's like, how many did you have? I was like, I had three candies. He's like, oh no. And I was like, wait, oh no. And then, I was feeling the music.
Dude, we were literally having a conversation about the Mary Mart effect on that show.
Well, that was the same
night.
Show where the fogger broke down.
Yeah, and it went nuts.
And so, like, I looked to the right and there was no band.
No,
there was no drummer.
I was sitting there next to a dude literally with it was almost like a mirror ball jacket.
Yes.
And I was like, and I'm just feeling the music. And then I look up and there's mirror ball jacket and then there's just smog.
Well, we were playing
everywhere. I was like,
I remember because we were playing Still Waiting the first time it blew up, And Travis changed the lyrics. He's like, I can't see my drummer.
No.
I can't see my bass player.
He was gone, like singing.
Yeah, like
just didn't exist anymore.
And I'm laughing while I'm like, this is like the visual equivalent of what's going on in all of our heads right now.
Yeah, this is exactly what
is happening. But yeah, so speaking of Mary Mart, Billy from Mary Mart will be joining us next week to talk about 420.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
Because this year is just flying by, and April 20th is almost here.
I thought, like, January took forever to get through, and now it's April.
No. Right.
I'm like, oh, crap.
We do have a voicemail at 253-271-4787.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're doing, a show.
Messages. Oh, you know what makes me f***ing crazy?
Oh,
when people ask you a question, you go to all the trouble to answer their question, and then they look at you like you're a f***ing moron. It's like, were you even listening to me? If you ask me for directions, and I tell you go north, and you take a left, you go north and take f***ing left.
No.
There's nothing else to, what do you want me to, like, hold your hand and walk you down the street?
Please.
What the hell is that? I mean, come on, people. Like, just pay f***ing attention. I'm answering your question. Stop looking at me like you're a f***ing cartoon character. Just listen and follow my directions. For God's sake, I can't stand f***ing people.
First question, Boston or New York?
I'm thinking Boston.
That's what I was thinking, but then it kind of morphed into like a New York halfway through.
But I wasn't
wonder if
listening.
She should rethink
I
her career listening. As a guidance counselor.
Yeah, right?
She's so mad.
She answered, I hate effing people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was that last
so
part.
Mad.
So how long have you been a therapist?
You know? I can't stand people.
I know two words that her husband probably says a lot. Yes, dear.
Well, I mean, I kind of agree with her. I hate it when somebody asks a question, you answer it, and they're like,
that's not the answer I want.
I don't believe
you.
Or it's like, then why did you ask a question? Are you just throwing it out there to the universe like somebody will hopefully answer it?
You know, you gotta ask this question, which is, what does anyone around her with two black eyes say?
Nothing she ever been told.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. She already told him twice. Yeah.
She will punch them.
Sound like she's ready to hit somebody.
I will say, though, when I moved out here from Maryland, well, then I lived in Florida, but we're still trying to forget that.
Yeah, Florida. Good luck with that.
Sorry, people of Florida.
No,
hey, I left. Your stay was improved the minute I crossed out.
Great test once said about people in Florida. Get the F up and get out, bitch.
But I got here and it was a very new thing to me. There were several things that were new, but one of the thing that I couldn't wrap my head around was people would be like, yeah, so when you get off the freeway, just head south. And I'd be like, well, when I get off the freeway, do I turn right or left? And then they would repeat south. And I'd say, I don't travel with a goddamn compass.
Right.
When I get to the bottom of the exit, do I turn right or left? They go, well, you turn right. And I'm like, thank you. Why would you not just say that?
I'm glad you said that, because I had the same problem, too, when I first moved out here. Everyone was going north, south, east, west. And I'm and like, see, I know left, right.
Dude.
Keep driving straight.
And living U-turn. Here. And living here, that's one of those things that frustrates me with my wife. Is she doesn't have the directional, like, wherewithal.
Nobody said north, south on the East Coast.
And you don't say
that's what I've learned.
You don't say that. Yeah.
You go up, down, left, right.
No,
when you get off the exit, there's a sharp left. You don't want that one. You kind of want the center lane. It'll be kind of a veering left. But you don't say that. You don't head southwest. You know, what do I got, a sundial and a dashboard?
You just don't know, like, where you are. Like, right now, do you know which way you guys are facing?
No. Well, here's the thing.
Well, yeah, I got to think of where the stadium is. I know that's south.
I've lived here now for...
Some kind of northish.
Like, no, dude, I've lived here for 22 years. Right, yes. Now, I can totally say, yeah, dude, it's, you know, once you get off the freeway, just head north.
I just figured that was just something everyone did.
Once you learn...
Living on this side.
I lived here long enough to figure out where the ocean was.
And exactly.
The ocean is west, so the rest of it's easy.
Exactly.
But it took about a year for me to get, because I'd be up in Everett and I'd be like, well, where's the ocean now? And so it took a while.
It's up, down, left, right.
So, but you know, if you have any common sense, so when you get off exit 155, turn left. And I'd be like, so, yeah, Glenn, 155, and then you're just going to head north. And I'm like, which way? And then they'd look at me like I was stupid for asking. It's like when people say, when you go to the store, you bring me back a pop. And you say, a pop? Do you want Coke, Pepsi, Mountain Dew, Sprite, 7-Up? What the hell's a pop?
That's like in Atlanta if you're
And then they
Coke.
Look at you like you're stupid. Well, a pop's Mountain Dew.
Yeah, exactly.
The first time someone did that, I worked in a mailroom at Puget Power.
You gotta choke them out.
And I'm like, I'm going to the vending machine. And the woman's like, can you grab me a pop? And I thought she said pot. And I'm like, whoa.
You guys just
have pot in the vending. I was like, this West Coast is the best coast. And then I realized it was pop. And I was like, what? Who says pop?
Well, then you realize the whole pop thing is relevant to whatever their favorite
soda.
Their favorite pop is. And so, like, I dated a girl forever.
Can I guess you, I'm very can you brand get me a specific pop? When I do that, yeah.
Pop meant Mountain Dew. I will say, will you bring me a Coke? If they don't have Coke, will you bring me a ginger ale?
I think so, yeah. Specifically, I think that's what I Canada do too, Dry. So yeah.
I've never said pop or soda. Now, if I'm drinking a Coke and I have a second Coke, I might hold up the Coke, visible Coke can in front of your eyes and say, would you like an ice cold soda? Because you know what I'm handing you.
Yeah.
But when people say, go to the store and bring me back a pop, you know, it's like, bring me food. What do you want?
With the direction.
Any type of food. Okay, here's a Slim Jim and a Snickers. I wanted filet mignon. Well, then you should indicate that.
With the directional thing.
I sound like our callers now.
Yeah, you are. With the directional thing, I
can't stand effing people.
I figured it out. It's just because it's so easy because, yeah.
Now we know why they call invent.
Like, the east is always the mountains. The west is always the ocean. So
what if it's nighttime and you're in unfamiliar territory?
Yeah, I'm still pretty good with that.
You could still turn left or right.
I'm really good at reading maps, and it came from playing years and years of video games.
He's
and
Johnny
it's cloudy.
Geography
There's no
over
stars
here.
To guide you. You're like a sea captain.
I can't necessarily do the stars, but I'll generally know like where I am.
What's that thing called that the sea captains use? Rev's out there by the side of the road with his crazy parallelogram thing with
no
scope
idea.
On it or whatever. Master and commander.
Know. Yeah, that's not going to work.
Lieutenant Cannon, we begin northward.
No, you put me on a boat, I'll just puke. So I avoid that at all costs.
Lieutenant Cannon, 2 degrees larboard.
You know? Larboard?
Yeah.
We got
That's sure it is. Watch Master and Commander. They say it.
Okay.
We got an email at themigscast@gmail.com from Brandon. Guys, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it out for the Steel Panther shows, but I swear I saw somewhere that you guys had a show scheduled July 13th for the Lime up in Kirkland, but I can't seem to find any info anymore. Am I losing my mind and that was never a thing, or is there somewhere I can find info? Thanks, guys. Much love from Brandon in Spokane.
That's a true story.
July 13th.
July 13th with the crying spell at the Lime in Kirkland.
Ooh. Oh.
Let me make sure
good thing we let Steve know. We'll need to cancel his Caribbean vacation.
Oh, I have possible Bruiser Brody acoustic set written down.
Well, you should probably take out the possible.
It's no longer possible, and it's also a full electric set.
All right.
Yeah.
So you can just put
Lieutenant Smedley just brought me the orders.
It is.
Let us head southeast.
Goodbye, possible.
Set a new course.
And goodbye, acoustic set. Liquid.
Now, here's a question.
Hi, Tommy.
Now, Steve, if it was an acoustic set, as the drummer, what the hell do?
I play the box, brah. I got that cajon.
Oh, that's right.
And a tambourine.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be playing that. But now I get to play the drums.
Because I've seen one of the bands that I've seen acoustic was Stone Evergreen Travelers, and it was because their drummer at the time had another obligation. So they're playing down at the Valley, and it was just in an acoustic set.
Poor directions. It was headed south.
And so it was like that thing. It's like, yeah, what does a drummer do when it's acoustic?
It's kind of like the cruel Guns N' Roses video where Patience had no drums, so yeah. Steven Adler, like, every once in a while, they just show him, like, lighting some candles.
Yeah.
You know? And I'd always
getting
watch that video.
Water.
Like, man, that's not cool. You know, like, Steven, what are you going to do? Can I be in the video, guys? No, you're not playing on the song. Can I please be in the video? All right, light them candles.
Exactly.
No. Try and look more somber, Steven. Look thoughtful. All hell. Yeah, just light them candles.
Speaking of Steven Adler, one of my favorite parts of the book, have you ever seen the Guns N' Roses live performance at the Ritz in Hollywood? It was, like,
yes.
Their iconic MTV performance, like, right when Appetite came out. It's one of the greatest. If you haven't seen it, look it up on YouTube. It's there. And it's a phenomenal performance because it's like Guns N' Roses at their earliest, rawest phase when they first got some pub and some notoriety. And so in the book, he talks about it. And if you watch it, you'll notice they show Steven Adler quite a bit in that live performance. Apparently, he was the only person that was nice to the crew. Like, everybody else were just drunk.
Hammered.
And a-holes.
I remember that performance a lot because when you watch the footage of it, frequently Slash steps out in front of the lights. So you pretty much get a silhouette of him for the whole show. He's barely
That's
lit.
Cool.
He's barely lit. Dude.
Oh, dude, it's a great performance. But Steven Adler's in it a lot, and he contends.
He was the nice one.
Because he was nice to everybody. They made it a point to show him a lot in the special, which I thought was pretty freaking cool.
And the band's like, light them candles. Like, come on, guys.
Got another Bruce Brody question.
Ignite this incense. Ooh. Blow it out. Thoughtfully.
This is the one I meant that started me leaving the room to get. Gretchen said, good luck in Vancouver, fellas. Wish I could be there, but I have a silly question. Do you guys get a rider? If so, I'm curious what's on it. Green M&M's, LOL, from Gretchen.
We can read it.
So you guys actually do have a rider.
We do have a hospitality rider.
That's fantastic.
They wanted all of our information because we're coming from America, so they have some immigration paperwork, but they also said, let us know what you want on your rider.
Finger sandwiches.
A compass so we can find our way home.
So this is
South Glen. South.
I have to say, I feel like, let's see what Rev thinks of our rider. I feel like it's a very It's a very modest rider.
Well-rounded.
Okay, so we want a case of water.
All right, that makes sense.
A deli tray with condiments.
Okay, so a deli tray with just condiments, or do you want sandwiches on that condiment?
Well, lunch meat, and we also want a loaf of bread.
Okay, okay, so, yeah. So you want to make be able to make your own sandwiches.
Right.
That makes sense.
A veggie tray.
Nice.
Beer.
Now, are you specifying beer?
I'm fine with Coors Light. I don't care what kind of beer. They can give us whatever. If it's free, it's good.
What if it's Kokanee or Molson?
I was going to say Molson.
I'm in. Labatt Blue.
I don't even know if they still make Kokanee.
Kokanee! You hoser. No one gets it. All the millennials off, are lost.
Jack Daniels.
Oh, nice.
Whiskey.
Energy drinks.
Oh, you didn't specify which energy drink.
There was a round robin debate actually last night, and then
couldn't figure out what they have.
Everyone wanted to tap out.
Oh yeah, do they?
I think they're
Monster. Okay, yeah, because I mean,
I think the Commodore is a Monster facility.
Okay, yeah, Monster solid.
Yeah, peanut butter, bananas,
what?
Bagels, cream cheese, towels, and then my favorite. A roasted chicken.
So just one roasted chicken or parts of roasted chicken? Are you just letting them suss it out themselves?
Jeff made a football-like gesture with his hands, which indicates a bird.
Now, you'll understand.
I speak Rouse for those of you that don't.
We have an Airbnb house that we're staying at. So what we're hoping is that we get these things and some of these things can be pocketed.
That's the plan.
Each night.
No, that's the way you roll, dude. Yeah.
And then we can eat it for breakfast and lunch and not have to go broke.
Solid.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's why we want bagels. That's why we want bananas.
I was wondering
about. That was my only suggestion. Everyone had something to say. I'm like, I kind of want bananas.
Bananas was a good call.
And I felt like the biggest dork. And then Glenn saved my ass. He goes, actually, I'm kind of with Steve. I think we should get bananas.
Bananas is a
good idea. You need some potassium there. Yeah. I understand what you're going with.
Like a banana in the morning.
Bananas are good, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's our rider, which got me thinking about.
That's pretty solid.
It's a very basic rider. I feel like we'll get. Do you think we're going to get everything?
We'll see. I think it's easy enough.
I think there.
I love it. Initially, it grew a bit. Initially, Jeff Ross was like, deli tray and a bottle of whiskey. And I was like, God, I love that guy.
Yeah, and you know, Jeff has been.
You're my people. You're just my people, aren't you?
You get me.
Jeff's a touring machine, so if anyone, I would default to Jeff.
I would,
and then he goes, a rotisserie chicken.
I know, and that's the one thing that I think that you're not going to get. For some reason,
that might be the deal breaker.
I think the rotisserie.
We got like
I don't think it's a deal breaker. I just think
what about
it's
some chicken fingers.
It's gonna be something like
I'm okay with that.
Shredded chicken or
side
like chicken pieces or chicken wings. But I don't think you're going to get a rotisserie chicken.
I would like four live goslings.
Ryan and his brothers.
So that's what we're going to be putting on our rider.
That's pretty cool.
What would you want on your rider, Ev?
Geez, if it's BC, man.
Some BC bud.
Yeah, actually, yeah, like a bong.
Weed.
Bong and some weed. I'd be pretty down for.
You're going to want nom, though. You're going to want some munchies after you.
I know.
Bag of chips.
You're going to need like a PlayStation and a bag of chips, dude.
Well, if I'm performing, I don't like with something along those lines, I don't need any distractions. I don't want like a video game system. I think the food selection you got was pretty solid, but maybe instead of the, I want chicken wings. Like essentially that's what I would be down for at that point. But beyond that, you guys had some really good
the lunch meat here.
It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Maybe some Coke Zeros, but that's about it.
Mm.
Just because I'm a homer for those.
I feel like we could get those for free. Just by going to the bar.
I could drink Jack Daniels instead of Coke Zero.
We didn't think about that.
Yeah, what are you going to mix? You don't mix.
See, I'm not a Jack Daniels guy.
There's a case of water, so I have a water back if I need one. You're like, ooh, that last one burns a bit. I think I'll rinse it down with some water.
That's a good call. It's probably a smart one.
I'll have a Jack and water.
I've ordered those many times.
Yes.
Actually, it bums me out sometimes because I'll be like, yeah, can I get a neat Jack Daniels and then like just a water? And then they'll bring me a Jack and water. I'm like, man, I'm pretty sure I separated those two. I'm going to drink this.
Yeah.
But they put the water in?
Yeah, because Jack and water is common. And it's
is
like,
it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Jack and water is
gotta dilute your alcohol there?
Yeah, no thanks, man. Just give me a neat Jack Daniels. And then just
and
in
then
case,
a water to sip on.
Sometimes you get a little burn, sometimes you don't. But when you get a little burn, just a sip. It's kind of like when you're drinking red wine, you're enjoying a nice Pinot every once in a while. Just sip of water, dude. It's kind of nice.
Mm. I didn't know that.
You can keep the wine,
dude. Yeah, because sometimes, depending on the wine, it'll dry your mouth out a bit. I don't like sparkling wines. I don't do white wines. I can't hang with it.
You know, like rosé.
I like reds. I like all reds, and then specifically Pinots. I love, but every once in a while, your mouth will just get kind of dried out.
Yeah.
Just a little sip of water just sets everything straight, and I find that that's also helpful with my whiskey.
Wow. You know?
And when I drink my Jack Daniels on there at the bar, like, oh, I'm sensing notes of, you know, oh, this has a...
You should just start doing that.
The chlorophyllides are in bloom, head southeast.
It sounds like you're talking about, you know what you're talking about there.
Set a new course.
I do like, I came across a story of the most ridiculous tour riders in history, and it's all stemming from, I guess, Steve Aoki, the DJ. At one point, I guess he had a two-page tour rider that had, he wanted six large black V-neck shirts, six pairs of men's underwear, six pairs of men's socks, which, I mean,
he's not indicating touring, size. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Indicate size. They get them,
they
all
should
like
know
small.
His size,
it's like,
Glenn.
Dude,
I do like Slayer. At some point, they put on their rider, 100 snow white goats for slaughter, a halal butcher to slaughter the goats, freezer bags and coolers to preserve the goat meat, and 4 yoga ball chairs, black.
What if you...
You like, walk in, the members of Slayer just bouncing on yoga balls. Sup, dude? Like, man, it's great to meet you. Will you hold still long enough to sign this? No. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, no. Look at him in the eye. No.
Trent Reznor wanted 2
Kerry
boxes of corn.
Kerry keeps popping his ball with those ridiculous bracelets. You know, they call him the great deflator.
Trent Reznor needed 2 boxes of cornstarch, and it said very important next to it.
I think it might be to make, no, I was thinking like maybe
to make one of those volcanoes,
like fake blood or something like that, because you can use cornstarch. But I'm like, I would imagine, yes, more along those lines if it was a Manson show as opposed to a Nine Inch Nails show.
How about this one? Motley Crue, they went back in, I guess, their sober days. They wanted a local AA meeting schedules. They also wanted a submachine gun, a 12-foot boa constrictor, and a jar of Grey Poupon mustard. And according to the story, I don't know if it's true or not, but back in 88, Vince Neil found the wrong mustard backstage, lost his S, threw the bottle at the wall, it bounced back and severed an artery in his thumb.
Jesus.
Instant karma's going to get you.
Yeah.
One time I hit you right on the thumb.
I remember I was interviewing Trey Cool of Green Day once, and he was like just being a pain in the ass during the interview. We were backstage, and he was just like throwing things against the wall that were on it, and then talking about their rider. But the big thing he said, the one thing I got out of this really uncomfortable interview was that he would always
that
get new
an
underwear.
A-hole?
Yeah, he was a pain in the ass. I think he was just trying to. He's just ADD.
I think he's
wacky.
Super ADD. Yeah. So I mean, you're gonna have
after
that
a while.
Issue.
You're like, okay, dude. Like, you don't need to throw things against the wall. You don't have to be this guy. Like, he was throwing like, you know, just random like cans of soda or pop, water, whatever. And it's just like, okay. But apparently underwear and socks were huge because he just said...
You're on tour.
Yeah, on tour. You don't want to constantly pack underwear and socks.
Makes sense.
What else? Marilyn Manson, he wanted those Haribo gummy bears, only that brand.
Mm, that's interesting.
A bald, toothless hooker.
All right, that's a little bit more on brand there.
Are you Mr. Manson? Would you let me call you Brian?
Manson.
Don't call me Brian.
I do like DMX. He demanded 3 boxes of condoms and 1 gallon of Hennessy.
No,
he was joking.
No. That's legit.
Yep. Prince wanted all of his food to be wrapped in clear plastic film to be unwrapped by him only.
I think he was one of those germaphobe types.
Yeah. That's pretty funny, though. So I don't think we did anything that bad.
No.
Maybe the rotisserie chicken. That's
yours
about
is
it.
Yours is really, really normal.
What I love is when Jeff said that, and he did make that football gesture, and he went, a rotisserie chicken. None of us went, dude. We all went, okay.
Well, yeah, because I mean,
you roll with it.
If
you're
the
like,
weirdest thing
nice.
Is a rotisserie chicken, I think you're pretty normal.
Well, I thought about it. I'm like, that sounds kind of nice.
This band wants a rotisserie. What if they get one of those really small ones and only one of them?
It's like a rotisserie pigeon.
Yeah. Like the little game hen.
Yeah, game hen.
We're all picking a little bit.
Or what if they go nuts and go turducken?
Oh, I'd be in.
Turducken.
Yeah.
What's a turducken?
A turducken is a turkey
and chicken.
And a chicken and a duck. Yeah. I don't know the order
what,
of it.
What, do they
but...
stuff them in each other?
Yeah. Just shove it
while
in there.
While they're still alive?
No, not while they're still alive. You whatever, deflower. No, not deflower. Defeather yes. them. I guess deflower them.
Well.
We got one more email.
I'm headed northwest.
I'm heading southwest right now.
I'm going to head east and get a pop. What are you drinking? I'm not sure. It's carbonated.
Probably.
Cassie emails us about Audio Slave. Hey, guys, I thought it was great. 20 minutes before you played and talked about 2 Audio Slave solos, I commented on my friend's what's your favorite solo post with... anything from Audio Slave.
Nice.
I'm serious. I'm so jealous and happy for you, Steve, that you got to see so much of Chris Cornell. I think he's one of the best from that era. I'm 23, never got to see him live. There's a lot of my favorites I never had a chance, being born in 95, but never being able to hear him perform makes me particularly sad. Keep up the great work, and I love you guys from Cassie.
Nice. Yeah.
That's one of those bands, Soundgarden, Audio Slave 2, that I was able to see live, but being able to see Soundgarden live, mm-hmm. like in the 90s, was probably the best concert that I've been to. Like, just being able to say I was able to see that and experience
yeah.
it. And I mean, even presidents of the United States of America, whatever you think of them.
I love them.
I love them.
They put on a great show.
They put on
the
a great
songs
show.
Are a lot of fun.
And they were
man.
The opening act. So it was super fun to be able to see
random,
them.
Random, though.
It was. Just
but it makes sense. They're Seattle guys.
And it was they had to cancel the show for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so the opening act had something else to do. So it was just like presidents are in town. They opened and then Soundgarden. It was just fantastic.
Sid and I saw the presidents play, I think, the Paramount on New Year's Eve 1 year. And it was so much fun.
Neat.
One of my favorite Peter Parker shows is we opened for the presidents. They weren't the presidents. They were called Subset, which was the presidents of the USA with Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
We're seeing Subset at like the Rocksport in West Seattle.
Yeah.
And it was like, I can't believe this is happening. This venue holds like 400 people.
Dude, we played with them at the old Crocodile, the old version of the Croc, which was like maybe 300 people in there. And this is back at the height of Peter Parker really losing their S every time on stage because we just like were... four mental cases. Well, our front man was a mental case, and it made all of us then become mental cases at the same time, like just alcohol infused.
Should have got him a rotisserie chicken.
We should have. And some peanut butter and a banana.
Mm-hmm.
Brought him a pop to rinse it all down.
Oddly enough, one time he stormed off the stage because the place told him he couldn't have his Yoo-Hoo on stage. Yes, we left a show.
Did they mean a chocolate soda or did they mean his penis?
They meant his penis.
You leave that somewhere else, detachable penis.
They're like, you can't bring that on stage. And he had a temper tantrum and walked off.
Really?
And so we, in solidarity, we all walked off. Somehow Yoo-Hoo caught wind of this and sent us a box of Yoo-Hoo t-shirts, stickers, and something else, which I thought was the coolest freaking thing
amazing.
Ever.
Before yes. things can go viral, by
right.
the way.
Right, this is the early days of internet. Could you imagine now? Oh, it would have been so great.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyways,
that's so funny.
We lost our minds on stage. I think he threw himself into my drums. It was just like one of those
Damn,
things. I'm
dude.
Hitting him. And like it was just one of those shows, right? All I remember is that while we were playing and while all this chaos is going on, the members of the presidents of the USA are just like on the side of the stage watching with their jaws to the ground like, what the hell is this? As soon as we finished, Chris Ballew's like, can I buy a t-shirt? I just need a reminder of tonight's show.
I want a reminder of why I shouldn't experiment with drugs.
Yeah. And Sir Mix-a-Lot, I remember he looked at us and goes, you white boys are crazy. Like, it was one of those shows. It was like probably one of those shows I'm like most proud of. Like, it's like
most proud of.
Pure chaos. We were the Who that night. And they were just like, what the F are we following?
Welcome
it wasn't like they were so good, I'm afraid to follow them. It was... they are so crazy. We now have to follow this.
And does everything still work up there?
Yes. And thank God the sound guy at the Crocodile loved us. Jim. Remember Jim?
I don't know.
He was a good dude. He did sound for a lot of places.
I bet he mixed us the couple times we were in there before.
Oh, 100%. Great guy. Yeah, sweetheart of a dude. He loved us. If he didn't like us, we would have probably never played that club again.
I told the story about Paul Hudson making that guy cry on stage. I think I told that story on the cast.
Tell it again.
I don't remember this. It was the second Phoenix, and Paul, the sound viking, Paul Stanley Hudson, was the monitor engineer.
He's done
there.
Stuff with us with Brody.
Yeah.
Great guy.
That guy's amazing, man. But he was monitor engineer there, and then Dave Miller was front of house. But Paul had told the guy, it was like some punk band or something. The guy was notorious for diving through the drum set. He said, hey, man, look, I know what you guys are all about. And if you want to do that, that's great. But I've got my high-end condensers on these drum shells.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to do your thing, just give me a nod between songs. I'll slip up. I'll pull the mics. You guys can go to town, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as cool as it gets. Yeah, man, no sweat.
Yeah.
Sure enough, into the set came, and Homeboy dove through and on with Paul's mic still in the kit. Oh. So Paul went on stage.
Murder.
In front of their audience and started bawling the guy out. Like, blah, 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 blah. The guy started crying.
That's so punk rock.
Yeah, I was about to say.
He screamed at him. Paul's like, yeah, you know, I feel kind of bad because he was on stage crying like in front of their entire fan base. You know?
How to kill a band in 30 dude. Seconds.
Paul blew. I mean, Paul was still laughing about it. Like, man, it's kind of funny, but, you know, in retrospect, I feel kind of bad.
They're about to get signed by Discord Records, and they're like, we're not signing these pansies.
You cried. Yeah,
the guy was up crying in punk rock.
Crying on stage in front of the crowd.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
dude, it got. I remember one time I would dive into my drums back in the day when I was young and dumb and didn't care. And I remember one time a sound guy's like, hey man, these mics aren't cheap. Can you like not
Can
do
you
that
not
again?
Do that?
And I looked at him and go, dude, I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about that. I just assumed that these are like indestructible mics. You know, I'm dumb. I didn't know. I thought they were all like SM58s. Like you could just like you could do whatever to those things. You could shove them up you nowhere and they'll still work tomorrow.
Wow.
So then it got to the point where I still wanted to do that. And it's so unpunk to say this, but I would make it a point while I'm playing. I knew when it was about to happen. I moved the floor tom mic.
Yeah.
And I just dive into that part where
so it still looks punk rock.
The crowd doesn't know.
The bass drum was safe. You know, I knew the bass drum wasn't going to move because it was stable. The cymbals would go over in the corner. The floor tom would get knocked over, but not a single microphone would get knocked.
It'd make some noise. It would look cool.
And I remember one of the sound guys, he'd be like,
"Thanks, man."
He's like, he'd come up looking pissed. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, put your mic over there," before I jumped into the drums. He's like,
"Thank you."
Cool. He's still mad. He's like, "I've been trying to figure out where my floor tom went for like half your song." Yeah. And I was back there freaking out. I couldn't figure out what went wrong. I was trying to troubleshoot it, and you moved my mic. And Steve's up there crying.
I'm sorry.
You hit southeast. I don't get me a pop.
Is that left or right? I don't know my directions. Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, well, we get on out of here. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, right?
Hey, come find us in Vancouver.
In Canada, man.
If you got tickets, awesome. If you don't, Thursday's the only show that you can get tickets to, and it's at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver, opening up for Steel Panther this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Come say hi to us. We'll probably be at the merch table or at the bar drinking.
Bring your rotisserie chicken.
Please.
Bring your rotisserie chicken.
If you bring a rotisserie chicken, we will eat it.
It'll be that thing where, like, people are going to start throwing rotisserie chickens on stage at our shows,
dude. Sorry, guys.
It'll be like Ozzy with the bats, but we're getting pelted with chickens.
They call Steel Panther's like, what the hell is up with this band and rotisserie chickens?
It's called the Rouse Effect.
It's our thing.
The Rouse Effect. Hey, if you want to buy someone else bought another t-shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com/ I'm Steve Miggs. Please keep doing that. That's pretty sweet. My wife and I get a big kick out of seeing that. It's just surreal as F that people are buying t-shirts. That's awesome.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, so anything going on?
No.
Besides Bruiser Brody this weekend?
No, Bruiser Brody this weekend. That's it.
Seems like a big thing. Nope. Just Bruiser Brody. Well, I'm not going. You guys are.
Yes, we'll be there. All right, well, hey, man, thanks for listening as always, and stay positive.